Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Lamed Vov, the 36th psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is a short Mizmor, it is a lesser known Mizmor, but it has so much depth, a very, very powerful perspective on life. Let's start with an overview and structure. In terms of the overview, it is 13 psukim long, it's short on the shorter end, it has three sections. Of course, the first is the Kotevet, which is the inscription, in which we are told the very beginning of this Mizmor, La'anatzeach le'eved Hashem le'David. This is a song for the conductor, for the servant of Hashem, of David. And this is actually one of the only two places in Tehillim that Eved Hashem is used. The other one is in Mizmor Yud Ches. So this is an unusual formulation. We'll have to see how that relates to the theme in just a moment. In terms of the actual three sections, Psukim Beis to Hay, 2 to 5 are the thoughts of evildoers and the ways of evildoers in this world. Contrasted to 6 to 10, Vov to Yud, in which it describes Hashem's kindness and how He expands and runs the world. And finally, Yud Aleph to Yud Gimel is a plea of protection from Hashem, from the Meshorer, from the narrator, to protect him from evildoers. The theme of this actual Mizmor is pretty simple and straightforward, and that is the difference between the actions of Hashem and the actions of evildoers. So the characteristic of the Rasha, of the evildoers, described in the second pasuk is L'Rasha B'Kerev Libi, that the Rasha has a speech which he says in his heart, Ein Pachad Elokim L'Neged Einav. He has no fear of Hashem in front of his eyes. And that doesn't mean to say, Ein Yiras Elokim B'Makom Hazeh. Another word for fear is Yira, which is the way the Torah describes it. This is even more a more basic instinct. Pachad is abject fear. That means to say that there's not even any form of willingness to consider there be something divine and beyond the physical. There's not even the willingness to sort of take Pascal's wager and say, maybe it might just be better to live a religious life just in case. That doesn't exist in the face of this Rasha. And therefore, when we, in the second section of this Mizmor, which describes the kindness of Hashem, is really to actually just contrast that to the evilness of the Rasha. Look what Hashem is doing. Look at the energy He's providing for this world. Look at the types of characteristics that Hashem exemplifies, and look how corrupt it is, these evildoers on the earth. Just to give an example, just one simple example of this, is even just the words at the beginning of Pasuk Beis, which are Ne'um Pesha L'Rasha. This is the speech of evil of the sinner, of the Yetzer Hara of the sinner, perhaps another way of translating that. The word Ne'um is usually to introduce a speech either given by Hashem or a prophet of Hashem. Here you have a very unusual usage of it, where it is a speech described by an evildoer. This person over here, obviously here, believes on his little soapbox that he is significant enough that he is delivering his own rationalization, his own perspective on life, which is a ne'um, which is worthy of that same statement. That's the level of arrogance we're dealing with over here. In terms of events behind this Mizmor, what is this referring to? Is there a bigger picture here that we're not noticing? So the Medrash Tehillim, at the very beginning of this Mizmor, says a really fascinating thing. It says that when David HaMelech went in front of Goliath, the giant who was representing the Philistines, Goliath was a person of immense proportions, and at the times of Shaul HaMelech challenged anybody to a duel. He said, rather than having a large battle, let's have a duel between the two of us. Whoever wins that side of the battle will actually endure and be in charge of the other side. And nobody was willing to come forth. It seems that he was actually calling out Shaul himself, but nonetheless, what got David to go there was not because of the reward, was not because of the fact that he was, stronger than anybody else necessarily. It was the fact that he could not stand that Goliath was cursing the Marachos Elohim Chayim, the systems of the living God in this world, that he was expressing evil, and evil was not being put in check. And therefore, when he comes in front of Goliath, he says, he wants all the nations to know that there is a king in Israel, and that's why he went into that battle. And the Mizmor argues that when did he say this? He sang this Mizmor as he went into that valley, down the valley to the next side to meet Goliath. He saw that he had all forms of armament. Who can ever succeed against a person? when he saw that Goliath was cursing Hashem, Amar me'atani yocholoi, I now can succeed. She'enoi mefached min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He does not fear Hashem. And that's how this mizmor starts. Ein pachad elokim. That this person has no fear of Hashem. And this mizmor was David HaMelech's intimate plea as he charges into battle. However, the Malbim says this has nothing to do with any historical moment. Nothing to do with any particular discrete event on the historical time frame. Rather, this is the struggle of a human being with themselves, with their own, what we call Yetzer Hara, which is the evil inclination, or rather the will, the natural inbuilt will of a human being to indulge themselves, to be punitive, to be arrogant, to let their feelings and their physical desires express themselves without check. And that is the struggle that's been described here. So it's not a Rasha, it is not an evildoer outside of the human being, it is in a certain sense the internal struggle of that person to be able to rectify, to grow themselves. That is what is being fought over here, and the Malbim continues that throughout his Pirush in the Mizra. We'll get to one particular example in a moment. The Chida actually points out that perhaps it might go back to a semi-historical event, which actually relates to what the Malbim says, and that is, this is talking about the primordial sin in the Garden of Eden, where the snake was jealous of the relationship that Adam and Chava had between them. He was jealous that the human beings were seen as a distinct species, not simply an advanced primate or an advanced animal. And part of the request, as Rav Hirsch explains at the beginning of Perek Gimel and Bereishis, of the snake was to say, why don't you follow your desires like animals do, which is exactly how they serve Hashem? Why do they not just follow their instincts and do what they want, which is an expression of the service of Hashem, as opposed to human beings? And when Chava was convinced to listen to him, what ultimately ended up happening was that the ideology of the Nachash got implanted into the human psyche, that the first person question that a human being has is sometimes their indulgence, their Yetzer Hara, and that was where this was formed, this is what this Mizmor is about, and he gives some innuendos as to some of the wording which relates to specifically this theme. In terms of this Mizmor appearing in our Siddur, in our Tefillah, it does not appear wholesale, but a few psukim do. So, for instance, Pasuk Zayin, which we'll come back to in a moment, goes Tzidkoscha Kahare Reikel Mishpotecha Toham Rabo Adamu Vaemar To Yashia Hashem. Your beneficence is like high mountains, your justice like great depths. Man and beast you deliver, O Lord. That pasuk actually appears after the Mincha Amida on a Shabbos afternoon, along with another two psukim that begin with the word Tzidkoscha. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Halacha that is not said on a Shabbos when there is no Tachanun said, if it were to be during the weekday. And the reason, or if there's a Simcha, let's say a Sheva Brachas, and a Chasan is there in Shul, the reason would be is because it is actually seen as a Tziduk Hadin. That means to say that is the prayer which is said after a funeral, Rachman Litzon, to ratify Hashem's judgment in this world, and it is said on the Tzidduk HaDin of Moshe Rabbeinu's death, which occurred as understood and is related to Shabbos, and therefore that's said at this particular point. Also, Psukim Ches and Yud Aleph do appear in some Siddurim as being said when a person puts on the talis in the morning, when a man would put on the talis and it goes, Mayakor Chastacho Elohim, Uvnei Adam Betzel Konovecho Yecheseyun, how precious are your faithful care, O Lord. Mankind shelters in the shadow of your wings, and the metaphor, of course, is the talis. And similarly, Yud Aleph, which is Meshoy Chastachol Yadecha, Vitzit Koschol Yishrei Lev, bestow your faithful care on those who are devoted to you and your beneficence on upright men. So these are all by some when putting on the talis. It is interesting, possibly Yud Aleph also. Meshoy Chastachol Yadecha is also part of the Zmira on Friday night of Kol Mekadesh Shvi. It's one of the phrases in that Zemer. Be it as it may, just one pasuk in the highlight of today, and that is the seventh pasuk, which appears in Shabbos Mincha, which is Tzidkoscha Kahare Rekel Mishpotecha Tohem Rabah Adamu Vayemar To Shah Hashem. There's three parts to this pasuk. The first pasuk is your righteousness is like mountains, your judgment is like depths, and animal and human being, or human and animal, will be saved by Hashem. The Malbim explains, remember the Malbim is focusing on this as being the growth and the dynamic nature of a human being as he struggles within him or herself. He explains that there's two ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. That is, how does Hashem reward people in this world? One way is through, we'll call it natural reward, where a person does good actions, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will organize, there'll be rain, there'll be the right job interview, whatever it else is, that there'll be a natural way that a person is either rewarded or punished. And then there is a supernatural times where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sort of break the system and make something which is extraordinary occur. So the Malbim points out that the word for used to describe the natural order of reward and punishment is called Mishpat, which is judgment, and the way for the supernatural order of Schar V'Onesh is called Tzedakah. So he points out, if you look at this pasuk, we describe both Tzidka Schar, your Tzedakah, which refers to supernatural interventions, like Harekel, like these mountains of God, which means to say that when you look at high mountains, powerful mountains, when you look and you see a supernatural miracle, it is imminent. It's so clear that God was there. But Mishpatecho, when it comes to your natural reward and punishment, it looks like the depths. It's very hard to perceive. It's very hard to distinguish. It's very hard to identify. People will attribute it to themselves, to others, to situations, to circumstance, arrogantly. It's very hard to see. Why is that? And the end of this pasuk tells us because Adamu v'Amarta Shehashem, because a human being is comprised of part body, part soul, and in order for the human being to achieve their greatness in this world, they need to exercise their bechira choshes, their free will, to overcome their indulgences, to overcome their natural instinct for survival. And where it be that Hashem would have all his actions, which would look like tzedakah or tzidkoscha, which are looking like these great mountains, then by the natural fact that a human being does everything they can to survive and thrive, a person would in a certain sense deterministically make the actions or choices to do right, not from a perspective of choice and intention, but from a perspective of survival, because of course a person would never drink poison in their right mind, so a person would never do something which would get them punished imminently. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to preserve the fact that most of the time the way he interacts with this world is in fact Mishpatecha, is through the natural order of things, which is Tohom Rabbah, which is sometimes seems to be impenetrable to the human eye. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.